Hi everyone, you're watching Tim Topham TV, the Piano Teaching Podcast, episode number 52. Well, g'day again everyone from sunny Melbourne, where it's actually not very sunny. It's a little bit chilly over here, winter time. I hope if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, you're enjoying your holidays and the sunshine. I'm going to be looking forward to it in about 6 months' time. Now, today's episode is the first in this month's look at online teaching. So how to teach piano lessons online, because this is something I've been asked heaps about. And so I thought, all right, I'm going to find the best experts in the field who are doing this and who know how to share it with other teachers, grab them on, get them on the podcast and have a good chat about it so you can learn as much as possible about it. Now, before we dive into today's interview, I did want to thank our sponsor, which is the Learn to Teach Music Lessons on Skype video course from our guest today, Melody Payne. So if you want to be the most forward-looking, trend-setting kind of teacher in your area, if you're looking to increase your client base, teaching hours and income, and if you need a perfect solution to cut down on makeup lessons, then teaching online is for you. Learn to Teach Music Lessons on Skype is the course that will help you develop the online studio you've always wanted. You'll discover what equipment you need for teaching online, as well as exactly how to set it up for the optimal learning and teaching experience for your students. You'll also be introduced to policies, payment options, valuable teaching tips, helpful hints, a list of the pros and cons of online teaching, which we also talk about today in our interview, and much more so that you can begin teaching online lessons confidently and professionally right away and hopefully save a heap of time and money by doing things right as quickly as you can. Learn to Teach Music Lessons on Skype is a video course that includes exclusive access to a private Facebook community with other online teachers where you can ask questions, share video clips, and chat about your online teaching experiences. So it's great. You'll be able to have that follow-up. If you've got any questions after having a look at the course, jump in the Facebook group and you can get all your answers. Learn to Teach Music Lessons on Skype will answer all your questions about online music lessons, help you gain the practical knowledge, skills, and confidence you need to start teaching online, and show you how to enhance your studio, maximize your teaching efforts and income, set your studio apart, and take it to the next level. So if you're interested in getting a discount $10 off for this month, then head to the show notes page to get the discount code and the link. The show notes for this episode are at timtopham.com/episode52. As I mentioned, our guest today is our sponsor, Melody Payne. She's a fantastic teacher, and we had a great fun putting this interview together. And make sure you check out the video if you can, because the video of this episode, we actually show you her setup. You can actually see the kind of lighting that she's got and how everything looks, which is really, really helpful if you're looking to do this yourself. Melody started teaching aged 14, and after completing her undergrad degree in piano performance, she continued her education with a master's degree in piano pedagogy and then a doctorate in music education with an emphasis on piano pedagogy. She taught university level full-time as a music faculty member and is now an independent piano teacher who utilizes Skype and FaceTime for teaching. She blogs at The Plucky Pianista and has a music resources store at Teachers Pay Teachers, which is where you can find more about her course. So today's episode is all about Facebook and Skype and using those two applications to teach lessons. We're going to cover a number of things that the course that she's offering goes into huge detail on. We're going to cover some of those things that you can do in lessons, how to manage your students even though you can't physically touch them or share music with them, and some of the tools and tricks to teaching effectively online, with the goal that by the end of this, you'll hopefully be a whole lot more confident in thinking that, you know what, I reckon I could give this a go. And you can. So here's my interview with Melody. Well, Melody, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on here finally.
Thank you. It is wonderful to be here. I'm really excited to get to talk about one of my favorite things, teaching online.
And I know it's something that you know heaps about. In fact, you've put a course together and you're sponsoring this month of lessons. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I first wanted to say, trying to find out, how did you come to offer Skype lessons?
Well, it sort of came to me. I wasn't looking to teach Skype lessons, but I had some friends from graduate school whose daughter was almost 5 years old, and they called me and said, we want you to to be her teacher. We don't want anybody else. And I said, well, we're going to have to figure out how to do that because you live in Louisiana and I live in Virginia.
Okay, so what's that distance for those on the other side of the world? But how is that interstate, is it?
From my home to their home. So we had to figure out something.
Sorry, and we lost the Skype connection just for a second there, right when you said how far it was.
Okay. It's 804 miles, but I don't know how many kilometers that would be.
Okay. So it's, I don't know, 1,200 Ks or something. That's a fair distance.
Yes. So we got started. We gave it a try. It worked. We were excited. And so here we are 4 years later. We're still doing Skype lessons. It works great. And I was actually asking the little girl, her name is Hannah. I was asking her one day, what is it like to have Skype lessons? She doesn't know what it's like to have a lesson in the studio with a person sitting next to her. So for her, this is completely normal for piano.
So she actually has only ever had online lessons.
Yes.
Wow. So
online lessons.
And there's never been a chance for the two of you to get together. Would that be something that you'd like to do?
Well, I would love to because her mother and father and I have been friends for a long time. But when you live that far away, it can just be difficult. So yeah. I haven't seen her in person since she was 2 years old. And she was actually the flower girl in our wedding. So it's wow. been really fun to get to watch her grow up on Skype every week.
Yeah. And so I think this is really important because you aren't just saying Skype lessons are great for a little bit of fun or just for, you know, a winter's day when it's snowed in or whatever. You've actually taught this girl for 4 years on Skype. You've actually got the research. You've tested this to see what it's like. And you can confidently say, you know, she's no less able or musical or whatever than any of your other students that you teach one-on-one in the studio.
Absolutely. 100%. She is doing just as well as anyone that I can sit here right beside at the piano. And to me, that is so thrilling. It is so exciting to me to get to work with somebody through technology and be able to bring them to the same level as a student who is right here sitting beside me. So
yeah.
I love it. It's so great. And wow. And like you mentioned, it's also wonderful for snow days. And that's another reason. I live here in the mountains of Southwest Virginia, and we get a lot of snow days in the winter, and schools are closed, and the roads are bad because they're curvy mountain roads, and it's dangerous to drive. So we do Skype lessons or FaceTime or whatever the families have, and it works really well. And then I don't have to do however many makeup lessons that week, depending on how many snow days they have.
And people don't have to try and, you know, judge the weather and drive when it could be dangerous and things. So you've mentioned a couple of services, Skype and FaceTime. Now, do you tend to prefer one or other of these? And are there other options? What do you recommend?
It really just depends. Skype and FaceTime are the two that I use. Depending on what the student has, most of my students prefer Skype because that's the one that everybody has heard of and everybody is familiar with. But I have a few who prefer FaceTime because they have Apple products. So they want to use their laptop or their iPad or sometimes their phone in a pinch if we can't make anything else work. Sometimes they want to do that. So it really just depends. I have not used Google Hangouts or Ubu or any of those other ones that are available, but I'm sure they would work very similarly to Skype or FaceTime.
Yeah. Well, look, if you've had success with a tool, why would you change it? I mean, we're conversing right now. This is a recorded Skype conversation and I can see you. And I've got to say, you look fabulous and your studio looks amazing. I'm in my little den here. So for anyone that's not watching the video, pop in and just at least have a look at the start so you can see you've got, I actually really love what you've got behind you, that like stripped back brickwork. And the little shelf, it just looks really, really cool. So for those people who aren't too sure, Skype is available on any platform, any device, but FaceTime is just for Apple products, right?
Correct.
Okay, so iPhone, iPad, Mac,
right.
Laptops.
And I do FaceTime lessons on my Mac. I prefer to have a larger screen to look at so that I can see the small details of technique and things like that versus trying to teach a lesson on an iPhone screen that is only about the it's easier for me to use my Mac, and it's better if the students can too, but if they don't have that, then of course iPads are getting larger and phones are getting larger all the time.
Yeah. Do you actually have an iPad Pro, the big iPad?
I don't, but I would love
me too.
Do you have one yet?
No, not yet.
Nope.
no, it's have to be a Christmas present or something, I think. All right, so if you could nail it down to one thing, what would you say is the biggest advantage of using a service like Skype for piano lessons?
For me personally, the biggest advantage that I have noticed is that it's literally made me a better teacher.
Really? Okay, I wasn't expecting that.
I didn't think you would be.
No.
People ask me that question, I usually say convenience. That's usually the first thing that pops into my head. But over time, as I've thought about it, it really has made me a better teacher. I am forced to use more descriptive words, more colorful language and metaphors, and more precise wording to teach my student things like how to pedal or how to end a phrase or how to shape phrases, whatever it is. And using more specific terminology has, I guess, crossed over into my in-person lessons as well. And it's just made me a better teacher overall. And one day I was actually teaching my Skype student. She was ready to start pedaling recently. So we worked on that. And
this little girl you were talking about?
Yes. Yeah. And she's now 8 years old. So wow. I know, it's just really amazing. We've been having to adjust the bench every week because she's having growth spurts lately. So that's another advantage of Skype lessons. If they have a growth spurt, you see it and you can help them.
Yeah, you see it from a distance on the side. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were working on pedaling and I took her through this series of baby steps. We did some coordination, like tap her hands on her lap to indicate if she was playing a key and to march her feet up and down to help coordinate the coordination of pressing the key and lifting the pedal at the same time. And after just a few minutes, she got it. And I literally saw everything click in her brain. And when it happened, she was the happiest little girl in the whole city, probably. Yeah. Because she had it. I mean, to her, learning how to use the pedal and make the music, it just made the music sound so beautiful to her. Mm. That was just priceless for me.
Mm. Yeah, it's fantastic. I think, is she the girl that you do some demos in your course with?
She is.
Yeah, because I remember watching it when you first brought it out, and I remember thinking, oh, that girl looks like so much fun to teach.
She's amazing.
That's great. Okay, so we've talked about the biggest advantage for you, which that was quite unexpected, making you a better teacher. I think that's really, I can see how you would have to be precise with your words. You'd have to choose them carefully. You'd have to think. You'd have to be quite imaginative with how you go about teaching certain things. You couldn't be lazy. I think that's really cool for you to bring that up. So what about the biggest disadvantage?
Well, one of the disadvantages, usually the biggest disadvantage for me, is occasionally when we have bad weather. My Skype connection is just not very good when we have bad weather. And I don't know why. That's just the way it is. And actually, a couple of weeks ago, my Skype student, Hannah, and I, we both live in the southeastern United States. And we have these huge summer thunderstorms that just go across the entire southeastern United States. We were both getting hit with one the day of her lesson. And we ended up having to just completely quit her lesson after 5 minutes because the connection was so poor. I could see her, but she couldn't hear me. Mm. And then disconnect and recall. And then she could hear me. I couldn't see her. It was just a mess. So I have in my policy actually that if we can't make a good connection after 5 minutes of trying, that we just need to reschedule the lesson, because otherwise it becomes really frustrating for everyone. And I don't want the family to feel stressed, like, oh, we've got to make this work or anything like that. So we just disconnect and try again another day.
And how often, let's say in a semester or a half year, would that happen for you?
It's very rare. Usually after a few minutes, things kind of settle down in the airways or something, and then the connection settles down and is okay, even if it starts out not being so good. But that's probably only about the second or third time in 4 years that we've had to reschedule because of a bad connection. So it really doesn't happen very often in my experience.
And do all your students have lessons online, or do you also teach one-on-one in your studio?
Most of my students are one-on-one in my studio, but they do all have online lessons occasionally for snow days, or if I'm not feeling well, or if one of their siblings isn't feeling well. So we incorporate it all the time with every student in my studio.
Right. And how many students have regular ones or only Skype lessons? Is it just that one girl or just a couple?
Just the one right now. I've had a few other students. I had an adult student who took Skype lessons for, I guess, about a year from me. And then she got a new job, so she didn't have time anymore. But it was a lot of fun working with that adult on Skype, too.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever taught someone on the other side of the world or in another country online?
I have not, actually, but I think it would be a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking one of the other advantages would have to be the fact that you could teach people in different time zones. So in all that dead space in the middle of the day when it might be someone else's evening, you could teach them, perhaps.
Right, and increase your teaching hours, definitely.
Yes, exactly, yeah, increase your income, increase your hours. Just a thought. Okay. So how do you get started? Let's talk about some of the things that teachers need. Oh, sorry, I was going to say one other thing. I think the good thing that you've just kind of highlighted is that with all the kind of topics and ideas that I discuss on these podcasts, I always say to teachers, you know, you don't need to revolutionize. You don't need to cancel everything and suddenly only start teaching online. This is just an idea of things that you can add. And for you, in fact, even though you teach regularly, you have a great experience with this, it is just an additional service that you offer for most of your students, right?
Right. Mm. That definitely.
Yeah. So it's all of the stuff we're talking about today, you can go, oh, maybe in those winter days, or maybe in Australia in the extra hot days when it hits 40 degrees Celsius plus, maybe that's the time that you could use it.
Right. Stay in your air conditioning and stay comfortable. Do
exactly,
a Skype.
Exactly. Right. I don't know what 40 is in Fahrenheit, but it'd be over 100, I guess. Well over 100, probably. Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't even get that hot where I'm
lucky
it's
you.
90 Fahrenheit. We are really, really hot.
Yeah, but you have snow, which we don't have.
Yes, we do.
All right, so how do you get started? What do people need to get things set up?
The most basic thing people need to get set up is a laptop with a webcam and an internet connection. And if you have those two things, you can get online and teach Skype lessons right now. Okay. And I have my external webcam plugged in. So if it's okay, I'll grab that and turn around.
Yeah, let's have a look.
What my setup looks like. All right, here comes. I'll try and keep everything in the shot. So here is the piano. And, of course, I'd be sitting there. And then if I look around.
Oh, hello.
There you are. Hi.
I think this is the first, Melody. I don't think I've ever seen myself on a podcast on someone else's computer.
There you go. So I have the laptop set up on a metal music stand, and it's obviously adjusted so that it won't fall down and won't shift positions during the lesson. And then my webcam is just sitting right on top.
Oops, and what webcam do you use?
I use the Logitech 920, I believe. Logitech 920. I've had it for a few years. And how does it look on your end?
It looks amazing, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and in actual fact, I think one of the reasons why I'm just kind of changing over to Mac at the moment, funnily enough. So I'm on my Mac now with the built-in webcam, but I would normally be using the C910 or whatever it is. I think it's the same one as you've got, and it's great because you get a wider angle too, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And yours looks very good too. And that's another thing to mention is that a lot of the cameras in laptops are really good these days. They keep getting better and better. And I don't know that they're as HD and crystal clear as the external ones yet, but they're still really good. And that's what I started with. That's what I had. So that's what I started with.
Yeah. And the Logitech, I think it's only $100 and something, like $150 maybe. They're not that expensive anyway.
Definitely. Yeah. And they're great. They work with PC and with Mac. I don't know how they do that, but.
Yeah. Now, do you have to have a massive satellite dish on your house and connect directly to the internet or something, or just your standard internet connection? Is there any tips on that?
Mine is very standard, and it seems to work just fine. Mm-hmm. When my Skype student participated in our recital that we had in the spring, and so I had, there's a picture on my Piano Studio Facebook page if anyone's interested in going. It's called Melody Payne Piano Studio.
Yeah.
And I posted some pictures, and so I was on the church's Wi-Fi for that recital, and it was great. It went super well. Everything worked beautifully. And all the parents who had never seen a Skype performance on a screen in front of them through the projector were just completely blown away. They didn't know that you could do that. So it was a lot of fun to get to do that. And theirs was standard Wi-Fi as far as I'm aware, and it worked.
That's pretty really cool, well. Yeah. And look, you guys have far superior internet connections over in the States than we have here. But I'm in Australia and, you know, I record all these podcasts on my internet connection. So it's totally fine. I guess the only thing I would say is that maybe if you can, to plug in, if you've got a laptop, to actually plug into the internet rather than use Wi-Fi, if you're having a lot of issues, that can be a big help.
Definitely. Mm. And make really, really long Ethernet cords for that too.
Yes, I've got like a 30-meter one here.
30 meters, approximately 100 feet. Yeah. Definitely.
Now, do you have any special lighting? Like the lighting in there looks so clear.
I don't have any special lighting, but I have lamps placed around so that most of the light is in front of me.
Can you show us what you've got?
Sure.
In case that helps people.
I have, here's where I would be sitting to teach. And then over here, I have.
Oh, okay. So it's just like a standard
just a regular lamp. Yeah.
Yep.
And then I have another lamp all the way over there.
Oh, yep.
Which it's brighter in the room than it's coming through on the camera. But yeah. I just try to bounce light all over the room and keep it as bright as possible. And I think that helps with the clarity of the picture on the screen.
Yeah, it actually looks, it looks so clear. It looks like you've got a professional lighting setup. I'm very impressed. I think that's probably part of the webcam as well, because I was just watching it too. When you sat down, you could see it focusing. So you get also, that's the other advantage of an external webcam, is you get that autofocus and sharper image, a bit lighter. So yeah, okay, cool.
Does a really nice job.
Yeah, so you don't need much is what we're saying, really. I mean, you could start with just your iPad if you really had to, right?
You could, absolutely. Yeah. You would have to get something to stand it up on, or some kind of stand, or an adapter to hook it to something, but or you could just sit it on a chair and let it face towards the piano. So yes, you don't have to have anything special to get started. But there are lots of things that you can do to make the lessons more special, such as the external webcam makes it clearer if you had an external microphone or something like that. There are tons of those different kinds of things that you could use. But for the most basic setup of all, a laptop with a webcam and an internet connection, and you're ready to go.
Great. And what about an overhead camera? Do you ever feel the need for one of those?
I haven't delved into that yet, but that is actually one of the things that's on my wish list. Mm-hmm. So that I could use two cameras at the same time.
Yeah.
So one day I'll be trying that. Have you done that before?
Not over Skype, but I have done a webinar with Bradley Sowash, and he has the one over the top. And I'm pretty sure Skype can actually change between two. You don't even need any. I mean, you can get extra software, but I think you can just use Skype and say which camera you want to look at. So it could be worth it. Would you find that you would use it a lot if you had it?
I probably would, especially for maybe teaching five note scales. It's easier for the child to look from above to see the black keys, or where do my hands go, or whatever's going on over here. I think having an overhead camera would be really, really nice.
Yeah.
Pretty luxurious, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the hardest thing you find about teaching online?
The hardest thing. Oh, wow. I think one of the really, really difficult things is that I really enjoy playing the teacher accompaniment duet parts with my students for a ton of reasons. It helps their steady beat, their ensemble skills. I can lead them with correct dynamics and shaping without having to tell it. And you can't do that just on Skype.
Yeah.
And that's one of the very difficult things. I mean, there are ways around it. Such as my student Hannah, one of her regular assignments is to learn her pieces with the CD or the Piano Maestro app or whatever she happens to be working in that week, so that she can get the sense of performing all the way through as it would be if she and I could play together. And sometimes I send her a recording of me playing it so that she can get the piano and piano sound in her that she may or may not be able to get, depending on what the accompaniment tracks on her CDs sound like. But to me, that's that's probably the hardest thing because I love playing the duets with the little ones, especially. And one of the things I really love about that is when they look at me, because really early on in their lessons, maybe they're hearing pedal for the first time, or they're, you know, hearing multiple notes at the same time, and their moms or dads are sitting over on the sofa and they all just go, "Oh, that was so beautiful." That's one of my favorite things.
So yeah.
It's difficult to do that with Skype, but there is something called Internet MIDI, mm-hmm. which I currently don't have because my Skype student does not have a digital piano. She has an acoustic piano, which is nice in its own right. But if both people have a digital piano, then Internet MIDI can be used. And the sounds that I would play on my digital piano would travel directly through the internet, I suppose, and come out her speakers of her digital piano. So that would be a way to get really precise sounds. And that could be a great, great, great way to do duets. But like I said, I don't have that because she uses an acoustic piano. So
yeah, got it. So we should tell teachers straight up, if you're going to be teaching online, don't try and play at the same time as your student. It's unlikely to work very well.
Correct.
Okay.
And talking at the same time is difficult too. Sometimes I can tell you're used to being online because we have to get a little pattern going back and forth. We have to know when to pause and when to wait because it will come through a little bit later than in person, but it doesn't take very long to get used to that. My Skype student would get so excited because, you know, she was 4 when we started. She would want to tell me everything. I colored a picture today. Let me show it to you. And this is what we did in preschool today. And let me show you my new toy. But anyway,
it's fun. All right.
Sorry, I just chased a rabbit. I got off subject.
No, don't worry. It's all good. One of the concerns that I do hear about teachers is that you can't touch your student. You can't move their hand into the right shape or something like that. How do you deal with that issue if you find it an issue?
I use the parent.
Uh-huh.
When the student is really young, I always have the parent sitting right there in case something goes wrong with the technology so the parent can restart Skype or reset the computer or undo the screensaver or whatever happens during that moment. So I have the parent right there for the technology side, but also for the child, especially when the child is 4, 5, or 6 years old and maybe doesn't know how to read well yet, or know they're learning how to find measure numbers in the music. And so I have the parent act as a stand-in for me, so to speak. And I will stop talking to the student for just a second and have a little tiny conversation with the parent about we need to do this, and I'll show them on my hand or do an exaggerated motion with a really precise description and say, do that on the student's arm or on the shoulder or whatever is going on. And so then the parent will do that, and the parent will teach the child what I am instructing to the parent. And that has worked incredibly well. Just being able to, things like tone production or just lifting off of the end of a phrase, things like that. It's really, really helpful to have a parent in the room.
And it's great because the parent then feels a sense of ownership in what's going on. They understand the practice that needs to be done. I assume I'd say that's a good thing all around, to be honest.
I think so. I think it really has been. I think the mother, my student Hannah's mom, had piano lessons for 2 or 3 years when she was a child. So she was familiar enough with the beginning stages of everything. But then when I started doing more and more detailed things, she's been able to help out with things. And now that Hannah's been doing Skype lessons for 4 years, Mom doesn't even have to be in the room so much anymore. So she's free to go and tend to her younger son or start making dinner, whatever. Yeah. And that's another good thing about it is that the life at home can carry on in the midst of one's child having an online lesson.
But she's on call when you need her.
Exactly. She's just right in the other room. And I ask Hannah, is your mom nearby? And she knows that means I need to go get my mom.
Yeah. I just had another thought just on technology too. Do you have a special microphone?
I have a Blue Yeti that I use mostly when I'm recording things like the webinar course. But right now I'm just using the microphone that's right here. I'm not using anything special.
So is that the microphone in the webcam?
Let me see. I could not tell you right this second. I will tell you it is the microphone. Let's see.
Because it's incredibly clear.
It is the built-in microphone in the laptop, in the MacBook Pro.
There you go. Isn't it amazing? I think it's just incredible that the technology now.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
I feel like you're around the world from where I am right now. I feel like we are just sitting across the table from one another having this conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. I've actually stopped using high-tech camera gear for a lot of my videos now. I just grabbed my iPhone because I've tested the quality and the audio quality, and it's just as good, and it's so easy to pick up your iPhone, put on a stand, and start recording. So I think it's amazing. Yeah.
If I do have a couple of students, because I live in the mountains, I have two students who live so far out of town, but it's only 25 minutes out of town. But living that far out of town here, they can't get internet access at their house. So we can't do Skype lessons if we have a snow day. So what I tend to do is record a lesson and on my phone and then upload it to YouTube and send them a private link. And then when the parents come into town, they're able to download the video onto their phone and then they take it home and they can show it to the child. So that technology is wonderful. It is amazing what even a phone can do.
Yeah. Now I was going to ask, we're about to get onto lesson activities because I want you to show us actually some of the stuff that you do. But before that, I think you've kind of answered this question, but I was going to ask you about managing the behavior of younger students. I guess it's having the parent there, right?
Yes, it is having the parent there. And another aspect of that is that my expectations for my students, they are aware that they are expected to behave. And just because mom or dad may or may not be nearby, that doesn't give them license to misbehave. And they know that I run a tight ship and they are expected to mind their manners. So I really don't have behavior problems in my studio. And what was the other thing I was going to say about that? As far as behavior problems, if you keep the lesson what I call tight, and I don't know how widely used of a term that is, but keeping the lesson tight, moving quickly from one activity, when you finish that activity, moving quickly to the next one also helps because the child doesn't have a lot of downtime. And when the child doesn't have a lot of downtime, they don't have time to misbehave. Between that parent and expectations, usually my students are really well behaved.
That's right. And again, that comes back to what you said before about it helping you be a better teacher, because you've got to be bang, 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 bang. You know your sequence of activities. You know when it's time to change. Yeah, it all wraps up really nicely. I think it's great. Okay.
That's all together, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's get into some of these activities, because having seen your course, I know that you've got some great particular activities that work online. So can you share with us just a couple of them that teachers could even try out if they wanted to?
Well, quite honestly, the main thing about activities is that you can use most of the same activities that you do in your studio with your online students. So that's generally what I tend to use. I don't try to seek out a lot of extra activities just to try and make something become an online activity. Mm-hmm. But if I can make a small adjustment and make the activities that I would normally use if the student was sitting here beside me work on their online lesson, then that's what I tend to go for first. It's like something that you mentioned earlier about using what you already have. When you mentioned if you have a laptop, use what you already have. It doesn't have to be anything special. But one of the things I love is playing ear training games with my students. And I'll show an example of that in the course, so I won't go into it too much here. But you can do lots of ear training games, play a melody and have the student repeat it, just three or four notes.
Do you want to try it? I've got a piano here. Hang on, do you want to try it?
Sure. Please don't listen to my untuned piano because it is the end of the summer. Lessons are over and I'm just waiting. It's almost time for school to start to get this thing tuned.
It's totally fine. So are you on holiday at the moment? It's holiday times there, right?
It is, yes.
So is that all of July and August, or when do you go back?
Well, I go back to teaching August 15th, and I have a few more summer lessons left, but not very many. So yeah. I'll go back to teaching August 15th. The children in our area start back to school on August 10th this year.
Okay. So you've got a couple more weeks. That's cool.
A little bit more time. Definitely.
All right. Let's try this out. Let's see if I can see if I can do it.
All right. Here, the way we did it is that I tell her where to place her hand on the piano keys. I might say, use a D five finger pattern or a D five note scale. So then okay. I would have a hand on the D. I'd say, place your finger one on the D.
Okay, can do that.
And then I might play.
Did that come through?
Yeah. It did.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it can be just as simple as that. And you can do that whether the student is sitting right next to you or whether the student is there. And it's actually a little bit easier to do this activity on Skype than in person because each person can sit right where they're sitting. You don't have to shuffle back and forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here's the D I used. Which D did you use? And all of that. You just sit right here and do the game, and it works really, really well.
Yeah, great.
She has a lot of fun with that. And another thing that I really love is, and I've heard you mention this before in your pop piano, Piano Flicks, is the iReel Pro app.
Mm, yep. So how do you use it?
I love using it for the blues progression.
There's a
fun blues progression, and using that over Skype, since I can't play the accompaniment with her like I usually do when I'm teaching students how to play the blues scale. Usually I'll sit down and play the progression while they're playing their scale. And since I can't do that with her, because we already talked about how we can't play at the same time, unfortunately, I just have her turn on the app and find the blues progression, and she sets it to the correct key, which we're using C. So then she plays along with it and feels like a million bucks.
Yeah, it's great. So iReel Pro, just tell people what it does in case they haven't heard before.
It's a wonderful app that has tons of accompaniment tracks, and you can download songs to play along with. It has lead sheets that you play from, and each measure is highlighted as you play it. So it's almost like a visual metronome, I guess, or track that it goes along as you're playing each measure and helps you. It just helps you play. It helps your ensemble skills, I think.
Yeah,
and your
hugely.
Listening skills and so many things like that. I have a lot of kids that I teach who play piano for praise and worship bands at their church.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they use a ton of lead sheets for that kind of music. And so being able to use the iReel Pro app, they can use that as a practice tool for playing for their service at their church.
Mm, Yeah, and the other great thing is while the app itself is now costs about $20 or $15, once you've got it, you don't pay anything else. It's everything is imported off the internet by people who have uploaded them the chord charts, and you can add your own chord charts in. So when it comes to the blues, I put my own one in. I remember. So that's great. If anyone listening is interested in the kind of apps that I use, then I've got a link to that. On my menu, just go to blog, and then you can see best iPad apps for piano teachers. And actually, iReel Pro, I think, is an Android app as well. I think it's Android, iPhone app. It's everything, I think.
Oh, that's terrific. I have not heard that. That's wonderful.
I'm pretty sure it is. It's one of the few ones that everyone can use, which is great. So I get my students to use it. Fantastic. Okay, any other kind of activities that you just want to mention? Or as you say, you just suggest teachers just try what they're already doing.
Right, just try it. And if you're doing worksheets or some kind of something like that, something written, maybe it's a listening activity, a listening glyph where there's a picture that the child has to color. Let's say it is a scene with an apple tree and a basket or something. And it might say, if you hear forte, color the apple green. Or if you hear piano, color the apple red. So it might be something like that. You would have to send that in advance so that the parent could have time to print it out and have it available for the lesson. But they can still be used. You just have to plan ahead a little bit more than you might have to plan ahead for one of your lessons where your student just walks in your door.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What about books? You've obviously got to be using the same books, right?
Yes, I do. And what I do for my online students, I send a picture or a link to every book that they need to order. And I try to keep everything going a few weeks in advance so they have enough time to go by the music store or to order it online if they're like me and don't have a music store locally. So being able to just send a link and say, we need this one and this one and this one. And I love primamusic.com. That's my go-to place for ordering music. And so I'll send a link or a wish list or something to the parent. So they keep the books coming in.
Got it. So that's P-R-I-M-A, Prima.
Yes.
And that's Prima. In America or just your state?
It's in America.
Yep.
It's cool. It's a really great company for ordering music. And they actually have tiered levels of membership so that when you order a certain dollar amount of books over time, then you begin to get a little bit more of a discount on your orders. So it's really wonderful for music teachers.
Got it. Fantastic. Out of interest, what method do you tend to use, or have you built your own resources?
It really depends on the student. For early beginners, I am absolutely in love with the My First Piano Adventure series by Faber and Faber. I love that for the very young beginners, and they love it too. They just love it. And for slightly older beginners, I really enjoy using the Alfred Premier piano course, the orange ones.
Yes.
And those are just fantastic. In my opinion, those work better for a little bit older beginners, like ages 7 and 8. And as long as they're ages 4, 5, 6, and sometimes if they're a very young 7-year-old, I'll still put them in the My First Piano Adventure.
Right.
And just go through quickly. I have a little girl who's 6. She comes from a musical family, and her older sister has been studying with me for 3 years. And the 6-year-old just started lessons in April, 2 weeks before our spring recital. And she just this week finished her first My First Piano Adventure. So she's been moving pretty quickly. But as I mentioned, she comes from a very musical family, and that has helped a lot. We got to skip a lot of the activities as they were very redundant for her.
Right. Yeah. Do you tend to teach? Is your studio, have you got quite a lot of young ones?
I mostly have young ones.
Yeah.
Mostly. And that's my favorite, is young beginners.
I can see your energy and everything. I reckon if I was a little kid, I would love having lessons with you. It'd be so much fun.
I try to keep it fun, but every now and then I tell a corny joke and they don't get it. So come on, stop being silly.
we all do that. You must, I recently found out about Piano Safari. Have you heard of Piano Safari?
I have heard of it. I haven't had the opportunity to use it yet, but I've heard really great things about it.
Yeah, if you're doing a lot of the really young ones, and I'm not paid by them or anything to tell you, it's I've started using it with some of my, and I mainly teach teenagers, right? But I've got some young beginners, and it is really cool. I think you'd really love it. Just check out some of the stuff online and see what you think. It'll be cool.
Definitely, I have a new beginner coming in who's 5 years old, and I've been looking for something different.
I tried out. Yeah, totally.
Exactly what I need.
Beautiful. All right. We're going to kind of start wrapping it up, but I do want you to tell us about your course. I mentioned it in the introduction that you're sponsoring this month, and it's fabulous. I've seen the course. I'm so glad you finally got it out, because originally you released it maybe a year ago, I think, or 2 years ago. That's when I first heard about it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Melody, you've got to share this more widely. But then something happened and it went off, or you fixed it up or something. So tell us a little story about it.
Yes, I took it away and then I improved it. It was presented as one long webinar live on one of the webinar platforms. And after that, I re-recorded everything and put it into smaller video segments and did a lot of editing and bullet points on the screen and things like that, just to make it more visually interactive and appealing, and went through all that. And then most recently, I thought, maybe I should add a little soft piano background track to it for people who don't like to just sit in silence and listen to me talk on the screen. So
what's wrong with that? I do that all the time.
But there's a version that does not have a piano background track, just so that it's quiet. It's just me talking and teaching. And then there's a version that does have the little piano background track, which to me infuses a little bit more energy into it.
Cool.
And it seems fun. So people can have whatever choice they want, either one. But yes, I did a little bit of an overhaul on it, and now it's back online, ready to go. And it's a total of approximately 90 minutes in 9 short videos, and things like the pros and cons of teaching online are addressed, and teaching tips, studio policies specifically for online students, payment options and ideas specifically for online students. Oh my goodness, what else? How to get online students, places to find online students.
That's a good one, yeah.
Tons. And of course, how to set up and what settings to use in Skype for the best sound and video quality, how to use your webcam for the best sound and video quality, and just everything you need to know to get started and be feeling like an expert in no time.
That's great. Well, I mean, today we've really just glossed, we've kind of glossed over the surface, haven't we? You've got so much more detail in the course.
It does have a lot of details, that's for sure. And it was something that I felt was needed in the piano teaching community.
Absolutely.
Because if you go to any of the piano teaching forums, there are so many questions about how do I teach online, or how do I get started? How do I set up? Where do I put my webcam? Where do I put my laptop? And I thought, oh, well, I can answer that because I've done this for a few years now. And so I just wanted to make that information available to people in a structured format. And it's a step-by-step approach. You can watch as little or as much in one sitting as you like. Mm-hmm. And you can go back and review any part that you want as many times as you want. And we even have a private Facebook group that's exclusively for people who have done this course. So people can join the Facebook group and talk more about online teaching and ask questions.
Ask more questions, yeah. That's great. Right. And have you still got the videos in there of you teaching?
Yes, I have a few videos of teaching in there, yes.
Because I think they're the ones that I found most fun is actually watching you in action with your student. So you actually get to see that in the course. So I think it's brilliant.
And I have the one of me teaching her how to pedal that I mentioned earlier. That's in the Facebook group.
Fantastic. And
it's basically an entire lesson, unedited. Well, not the entire lesson, but the unedited version of if you were sitting next to me watching me teach her pedal, that's exactly what we did, what you see on that video.
Brilliant, brilliant. Oh, that's so good. Well, thank you on behalf of piano teachers for putting this out there, because you're absolutely right. I get a lot of questions. There are a lot of people with questions. So it's great to have somewhere that we can send people. So where should they go to find out more?
Well, my website is melodypayne.com.
That's and there's Melody, P-A-Y-N-E.
Yes. Yeah. Melody as in music, M-E-L-O-D-Y, standard spelling, and Payne, P-A-Y-N-E.
You could only have been a musician, right?
I actually had somebody ask me once if that was my real name. I said, yes, this is my real name. I am the piano teacher, and my name is Melody, and the car that I drive is called a Sonata, so
I love it. Okay, so melodypayne.com, that's where they can find out more.
Yes.
Brilliant.
And then I also have all of my social media links listed in a handout that I'm going to have available when this is live. So we'll be having that handout posted, and there'll be links to some more articles and information about teaching online that are on my blog, and links to all the social media.
Fantastic.
So there are
tons
of ways to get in touch.
Thank you so much for putting all that together for us. And thank you for your time today. It's been so good to speak with you. I feel like I want to have a lesson right now, but we don't.
I know. We're right here. And that's the other thing. That's one more thing. When you finish your lesson with your Skype student, the student is sitting at the piano. So maybe that will encourage them to practice a little bit.
Maybe. You can always hope, can't we?
That's right. We sure can. Well, thank you so much for having me today. I've really enjoyed this time together.
You're welcome. It's been great to finally catch up properly and spend some time on something that's really important. So, yeah, really appreciate it. And we'll speak to you really, really soon, and we'll keep in touch.
Sounds fabulous. Thank you, Tim.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye.
If the idea of a piano teacher's community where you get to access the best educational resources, rub shoulders with expert teachers from around the world, and have immediate access to feedback for any of your questions, then Inner Circle membership is for you. The Inner Circle is my private community of piano teachers from across the globe who share a commitment to creating and delivering the most inspiring, modern, and progressive learning experiences for their students. Membership is now open, so head to timtopham.com/community to find out more and get involved today. I can't wait to see you on the inside.